Here on the Conservation in Action Tour, I'm speaking with Brian Noyes. And Brian, you're Colonial Soil and Water Conservation District, right?
Yes, sir.
What do you do?
I'm the district manager. We're a district of three employees, and we serve five localities here in Virginia, which is quite a few localities relative to other districts. And we deal with a lot of issues here in terms of supporting innovative agriculture and also dealing with urban land use loads. So we've got a diverse district. We're also divided right down the middle in between the York and the James watershed. So we've got plenty to do.
Well, tell me what these farms we're visiting today, what are some of the kind of key things they're doing to maximize conservation while at the same time obtaining yields so that they can stay in business?
Well, this continuous no-till management system has a lot of components to it. Some of them are, maybe what you might call nuances. Mm-hmm. Some of them are bigger components. But when we look at the main components, we're looking at intensive crop rotations. And typically what we're seeing here is corn followed by wheat followed by double crop soybeans. So we've got three crops in 2 years. Mm-hmm. In some cases, we can get a cover crop in there. So that's four crops in 2 years, which is a lot of biomass.
Yeah.
So then we go from a lot of biomass into a what we term as a never-till system. And a lot of the acres that you'll see here haven't been tilled for a couple decades. We also look at another primary component is how we manage those nutrients. And what we're seeing is the system is changing. The more carbon we get, the more the system is changes in many ways. And our primary focus from a water quality standpoint right now is how we can be more efficient in using that nitrogen, which we have a pool of now. Mm-hmm. It's a more stable source of nitrogen than always, putting in the commercial or chemical grade type of fertilizers, and now we're trying to utilize that as best as we can and adjust our rate applied to try and maximize the yields. The trends that we're seeing and more of the research that you'll see this afternoon is we're showing trends of being able to cut back on our nitrogen and keep our yields. The other challenge that we have is this system continues to yield more every year. So, it's very difficult without some real good indicators out in the field just how to manage that nitrogen to optimize yields and protect water quality. David Yule and a lot of the producers here are pioneers in this system, and they're learning every day. They'll tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
We've been focusing more recently on how we can help them to identify those indicators out in the field and be more precise managers. And it's a job to be help the most precise producers be more precise.
Well, speaking of precision, it looks like from what we've heard, especially here at Renwood Farms, that the use of precision ag practices, technology, is helping them be more efficient, especially in things like fertilizer use.
Absolutely. And they've been spoon-feeding their nitrogen for years and years and taking all kinds of different kind of samples out in the field and trying to measure all those variables, that's a difficult task.
Mm-hmm.
The scale of production and the diversity of variables that you'll see just in one acre,
mm-hmm.
It makes it a tough job. And we really think that the more stable we can make the system and the more technologies that we can promote to read indicators out in the field is the direction that we need to go in.
So are you able to measure and show how this is affecting or maybe ideally improving water quality, for example, in this area?
No.
Yeah.
Some of the research that we're doing is showing performance, but, we're talking about a lot of variables across the field.
Yeah.
That's where modeling comes in. And a lot of people say, how off the models are and all that. But, I see models as being here.
Mm-hmm.
I see models as always being a balance between science mm-hmm. and politics. That's just mm-hmm. a product of what we have to deal with. And they're not going anywhere. Because if we're going to look on how we're going to make things go further, we got to measure more. We got to have more models, but we got to have buy into those models, and we got to be able to keep those models in context. Mm-hmm. But we're going to have models forever. We can't measure how much nitrogen we're losing, you know, with every management system on every field, with every storm that we have. We are extremely confident in the research that we've done that this system outperforms any system that's out there and is probably the most cost-effective thing that we can implement in these watersheds.
Well, at the same time, feeding people who are hungry.
Well, yeah, we tend to forget of that benefit, you know. You know, there should be no lack of realization that this farm is here to make a profit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we need to keep that in mind every day when we're trying to find ways to improve water quality. And because if it's not profitable, it's not going to get implemented. Mm-hmm. You know, and unfortunately, I think there's some who think that BMPs have to hurt before they do any good.
Yeah. So. Now, well, it's obvious that the places we've seen, these guys are doing everything they can to be good stewards of the land while, like you said, they've still got to make a profit to stay in business.
Yes.
So, well, thank you very much. Brian Noyes with Colonial Soil and Water Conservation District, one of our guys that's really helping us in putting together and keeping us on time and on our schedule here on this Conservation in Action Tour. I'm Chuck Zimmerman reporting.